Good morning. Good to see everybody here. Dan's out with COVID, I guess y'all have heard, and we need to be praying for them, be glad for him to get back. Wednesday night, Ben filled in for Dan, and boy, you talk about a good job. Had an excellent class. It was really, really good. And then this morning, David had our Bible school class, and if you missed it, you missed a good one too. How we could spur each other on, and we didn't know what either one were teaching, but there's some things in my lesson this morning that go right hand in hand with David's class this morning. It's something how that works out sometimes. You know, we live in a nation where people don't... Oh, and Kyle's going to teach tonight. Don't want to forget that. Kyle Locke. So y'all make sure you come tonight because Kyle's a... He's an excellent teacher and preacher too. So we're really fortunate to have so many who are willing to step up when needed. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. That's what the Bible tells us. But you know, we live in a nation where people don't want to step up. And they don't even want to be held accountable for their actions. And you look at our country's politicians. You know, they've bent over backwards to allow a lot of things to be legal that are just not right. That may work for a citizen of the United States, but as Christians, it doesn't work for us when it comes to God. You see, when it comes to obeying God, we are accountable. Accountable not only for our own lives, but we also have an influence, whether good or bad, on others. And we're going to be accountable for our actions. God's not going to give us something based on what someone else did, like the government does. And he's not going to reward us for bad behavior. But he's only going to reward those who obey him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "The conclusion, when all has been heard, is this: fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil." You know, the politicians of our country have changed the laws to where they make legal things that God says are a sin. We have a society that even changes the names of those sins so they don't sound so bad. Homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. And abortion's not murder anymore, that's just a woman's choice. And they've changed a lot of these sins to where they make people not feel so bad when they partake in those. Because if we change the name of them, they're really not that bad, right? God says they'll send us to hell. That's how bad they are. Doesn't matter what the government says. You know, I can remember back when I was a kid, they'd say you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And that's still true today. As Americans, we can rename these sins anything we want to call them. Make them more glamorous, even make them legal. But that doesn't change what God says about them. And I want to plainly tell you today that God is very clear in the Bible when he tells us what is expected of us as Christians. He's very clear when he says what is not allowed. If you want to see a list of things that are not allowed, jot these down. Galatians 5:19-21, Ephesians 5:3-5, Revelations 21:8. List all kinds of things that it says will keep us from going to heaven. But yet we've renamed them in today's society. We'll name them something different. It's not going to keep God from holding us accountable for them. You see, the Bible tells us that only those who obey God will go to heaven. And those who continue to reject him will go to hell. That's what it says. And I mean, if we're Christians, then our action should show that we're Christians. Christians follow God instead of corrupt lawmakers. Romans 20:13 says that each person will be judged according to what they have done. That's pretty plain. Romans 2:5-8 says, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentive heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. when his righteous judgment will be revealed, God will repay each person according to what they have done. It's written right there. That's word for word from Revelation. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. See, the Bible's the one we need to listen to. The Bible's what we will be judged by. And these verses and other verses in the Bible tell us that there are two destinies that await mankind. Our destinies are going to be determined by us, by the things we do, by our actions, the things we don't do. Romans 6:16 tells us, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And the question is, who are you obeying? Are you obeying God or Satan? There's no in between. You know, we live in a country and a time where all kinds of people claim to be Christians. Well, there's even preachers out there who will have churches where they'll continue to tell people, oh, you can do that. It's okay. God loves you. He'll forgive you. Preachers are preaching that, but that's not what the Bible says. If you look in Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27, it's real plain. It tells us if we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice left for sin, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That is plain. That's really plain. Romans 6:12 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. You see, as Christians, we're told not to let sin live within us. When we have those things pulling us away from doing what's best, don't do it. Don't let it live inside. Because when it comes down to it, we serve one of two masters. In Matthew 6:24, this is what Jesus told us. You'll love one and obey them. Which one are we obeying? You see, God created us with free choice. And we are the product of the choices we make. We have voluntarily thought, spoken, and done things throughout our lives that have made us what we are. I'm a product of what I have done in the past. Each one of us are. In Philippians 4:11 through 13, Paul said that he learned in whatever state he was in to be content. That's something I wish I could learn a little more. He knew what it was like to have plenty or to be in want. He knew what it was like to be hungry or to be full. But in all things, his focus was first and foremost on God. And he even said, you know, he had enough faith in God to know that he could do all things through God who strengthens him. That's what we should all be able to say. We need to be content with the life we have because God has given each of us a wonderful life. We need to focus on that instead of more and more and more worldly things. We need to be spending our time. A lot of times we're trying to get more and more and more things to leave behind when we die, when we actually need to be sowing seeds of the kingdom. You ever heard the old saying, you reap what you sow? You know, I've heard that a lot, but it's biblical. When you look in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. It's not just pleasing the flesh. When I please the flesh, I'm picking my worldly things. From that, I'll reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, whoever tries to do what God wants you to, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That little word if's in there. And it means a lot. You see, we've got to remember, my choices not only affect my life, but they also affect the life of others. Even little choices that I think might not be significant could be something that could lead someone else to falling further away. Or little things that I do that are right might help someone else see that, hey, that's what I need to be doing too. Every decision that we have and every act, every action changes us for better or worse. And we're never exactly the same after making those choices. I know everyone here can remember some things you have done in your past that you wish you hadn't have done. It's still there after making that choice. They're always with us. But see, that's why we should put God first in our choices. With every one of even the slightest things that we do, we're training our minds so that we find it either easier to do what God wants or easier to turn our back on Him and do what Satan wants. You know, one of the first one comes to mind. David taught this morning, Hebrews 10:24. Had a great lesson about spurring one another on. And you know, verse 25 we hear a lot. When you start missing church services, you know, it gets easier and easier to miss. And Dan, a lot of times, quotes verse 25 where he tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. But the previous verse, what David spoke on today, that goes right there with it, he gave us a breakdown on therefore, and it ought to be right here with this one. The previous verse says that we should spur one another on. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Then it says, not forsaking the assembly, as some are in the habit of doing. And then the very next part of verse 25 says that we're supposed to exhort one another, to encourage one another. That all goes with that being in the assembly. We can think, it doesn't matter, I'm not going tonight, I don't feel like it, or, well, I went last week, or it makes a difference. We're encouraging others when we're here. And when we're not, then it kills a church. There are churches all over America, churches of Christ, that have gone belly up because people quit going. And when your friends aren't there, then you start missing. Then somebody else isn't there and they start. It kills a church. It's an action that we will be held accountable for. We don't think so because we live in America and we can do what we want. We can burn cars after the Super Bowl and it's okay. Tear down buildings that people have worked their whole lives, businesses, to build. But we need to realize that we're building habits by our actions. And some people are building good habits, some are building bad. But whether we realize it or not, none of us are standing still. We're either, with every choice we make, becoming a better Christian or a less faithful Christian. Every action counts. You know, when we desire to do God's will, we're going to be more acceptable to His teaching. John 8:47 says, he who is of God hears God's words. But the second half of that verse, see, a lot of times we stop with a verse. But the second half of that verse says, you do not hear because you're not of God. We don't hear that much today. If somebody claims to be a Christian, well, they are one. That's not what the Bible tells us. We've got to put God first in our life. Those who intentionally go against the will of God, according to the Bible, are not His. The Bible tells us we've got to strive to do God's work. Strive means to work at it. It's not going to be something that comes easy. That's what Satan dangles in front of us. Ephesians 4:17-19 says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Don't live like the rest of the world. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They've lost all sensitivity, given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. You know, we're full of greed when we put our desires ahead of God, no matter what they are. We're taking ourselves ahead of God. I'm doing what I want. That's greed. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid foods for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. See, it comes with practice. We have to live it. And you know, it should wake us up when we really think about it. Because what we do has consequences. Our choices have consequences in life. And God's going to take every act into account when He judges our lives. Many times we don't think we'll be held accountable for things in the judgment. But when we read what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36, He said, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. That's something people just overlook today. Well, Jesus saved me. I'll do whatever I want. When you read Scripture, Christians don't do whatever they want unless they're walking with God. Then we want to do what God wants. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're told, all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be compensated for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. What's compensation? It's where you get paid for something, isn't it? We're going to get paid for what we've done, whether good or bad. That's kind of scary. It should be. Unless we're living for Christ. You see, when God judges our lives, He's not going to accept the excuses like the laws of the United States do. Well, we'll overlook that. We'll rename that. I'll take that sin out. That's not the way it's going to work. Hell's not going to be the random punishment that people receive because of not being held accountable for their actions. It's going to be something we've earned. We're going to earn where we go, one way or the other. For the Christian, you know, I think it's encouraging to think that every act counts. I really do. There's going to be things that when they call them out, I'm going to hang my head and think, boy, I wish y'all hadn't heard that. It's going to happen because I've got things I don't want y'all to hear. But for the Christian, it's going to be great to hear, well done, work. Well done, I did something. Good and faithful servant. But you've got to do something to hear well done. You have to have some actions for God. You've got to live the right life. You know, all our choices are not only going to be for us, but also for others who are living this life with us. And we need to live with a faith that steps in the direction of goodness and truth, even if they're small, because it still makes a difference. God doesn't require us to do something, big, huge, large steps of righteousness that we can't do. Just small acts of faith, small steps while putting our faith in God. That's what He wants. He's not looking for somebody who can do everything, but for those who are willing to do what they can. And you know, once COVID hit, it seems like everybody wanted to quit doing something. You see churches that used to have 300 or more that struggled to get 150. You know, COVID was just a tool that evidently was pretty good for Satan. But we're still going to be held accountable. I'm not going to be able to say, well, yeah, I know God, but I'm going to rename that COVID. That's why I quit going to church, right? COVID. Let's don't call it the sin it is. I'm going to call that COVID. That won't work. That will not work. We need to remember that this life is serious business, and it pays to live carefully and faithfully. Now, I'm not taking a thing away from Jesus died on the cross. We would none of us have a chance to be saved without Christ. But too many times people today say, well, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Then they live like the devil. That doesn't get it. We have been led astray by these same things. We're no better than those politicians and those lawmakers that change things when we take away from this Bible. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 tells us, therefore be careful how you walk. You know, every word in the Bible is there for a reason. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. It goes on to say, then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We know God's will is for us to obey Him. We need to understand it and pay attention to it, because this is going to affect our eternity and others' eternity. On the other hand, we can be encouraged knowing that we can make a difference. We're the people who God has entrusted to spread the word, to tell others, to be there, to make sure others don't go without hearing the word and who do wrong. But in all things, we've got to make the right choices, even little choices. Every act counts, even the little ones. But they don't count if you're not a Christian. That's what it all boils down to, really. Not in name, but a real Christian. You know, first you have to make that choice. Have you made the choice to be a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? You know, a lot of people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but you can tell by the way they live. They might believe in Him because the demons do. But believing in Him is not enough, because you can tell by the demons aren't going to heaven. Neither are people who just believe in Him. Jesus said the one who believes has eternal life. But He also said that I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's what He said in Luke 5:32. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus also said, whoever acknowledges Me before others, I will acknowledge before My Father in heaven. But whoever disowns Me, that's not just saying with your mouth. That's with the way we live. Those are the people He's going to disown. That's what He says. Whoever disowns Me before others, I will disown. You know, it's going to be terrible to hear all those things said on the day of judgment. But it's going to be even worse to hear, depart from Me. I never knew you. Have you been baptized for remission of sins? That's something else that changed through the times. But the Bible hadn't changed it. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. I've got preacher friends that say, oh, you don't have to be baptized. And I say, well, Jesus said you did. Oh, yeah, but hey, Jesus came to this earth to tell us how to go to heaven. You must be baptized. In Acts 2, we see Peter preaching to them. These are people who saw Jesus. They saw Him. They saw Him crucified. They saw Him buried. They saw Him after He arose. Over 500 people saw Him. And they are scared. And they know they messed up. And they ask Peter, what must we do to be saved? You would think this would be enough verse for anybody. Oh, but you don't have to do. What must we do to be saved? Peter told them, repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. They say, oh, that doesn't do that. He walked with Jesus for years. He was taught by Jesus. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are things that's in the Bible. This is what we're going to be judged on. We're also going to be judged on what we do after that. Because in John 15:5-6, Jesus says, if you remain in Me, you had to be in Him. If you remain in Me, and I in you, when's He leave you? When you leave Him. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from Me, you can do nothing. Now here's the other part. If you do not remain in Me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. That should be scary. Our actions count. We need to wake up as Christians, get this COVID out of our head, get all of this justifying whatever sin we're doing by renaming it, whether it's whatever. Though the school had a function to cook cakes whatever it is, God needs to come first. We need to do that. But if you're not a Christian, it won't matter. So if there's any way that we can help you in any way, we'd ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.